Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Stream Team, your number one movie podcast for all things streaming. I'm your host, Keith Evans, and with me, as always, Chris Lowry and Cole Miller. And just like Laura Dern, back for the second time, we have Anna.
Back again.
Our paleobotanist, paleontologist, archaeologist, all things ologist here. Welcome back, Anna. What a great pick, by the way.
Thanks for letting me come back. That was really nice of y'all.
Yeah, we came back like all of the sequels to Jurassic Park.
Have to say before we get off topic, this is a vastly different pick than the last one we did with Anna. So I like it. A diverse taste.
I appreciate the diversity for sure. Jurassic Park and Sex Drive, like two completely different
movies. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of the same thing if you really think about it.
Down sure. The brass tacks. Yeah, it is. Yeah. we're missing Andy and Randy, and everything would have been great then. What's up?
Yeah.
You're a raptor. What's up?
Chris doesn't get this joke.
Yeah, you don't know that. You don't know what I get. I mean, I don't.
Well, it's good to have you back, Chris.
You're moving the mouse. You don't have to do that.
Yeah. So donut.
So we're going to 1993 Jurassic Park, a little movie directed by one Steven Spielberg. I don't know if you're familiar with him or not. We can go through his
eyes. That guy's good.
Yeah, he's pretty good. He's done a couple of movies. He did some.
That's what I heard, though.
He did some Hallmark stuff. A couple.
Haven't actually seen any of them.
Yeah. He struck it big with a made for TV movie, but that was anyway. So Rotten Tomatoes score 92-91. Great movie. Okay. Really, really good movie. Runtime of 2 hours and 6 minutes.
Perfect.
$63 million budget.
Okay, that's a lot of money.
Yeah, it's a little bit of money worldwide. We did $1 billion. That'll get you. How many sequels are we now?
Six sequels.
Fifth one or something?
Yeah, because I think
this is six. Yeah, this is six. If you don't count like all the other like animated stuff too, like I don't know if those count, but Netflix has like a whole anime series.
Yeah,
it's wild. I don't think we could get this many movies out of dinosaurs, but we're about to get on the 10th Fast and Furious, so I guess.
Yeah.
Listen, things happen
in a lot less time.
Very condensed. But again, I'm going to see it. I don't care. Like
Fast 10 and the Furious.
I'm in. Yeah, I'm in. Yeah. Fast 10 and the Furious.
Fast 10 your seatbelt. Yeah, I'm in. Like let's do let's run. Let's go.
Oh, wasted opportunity.
That shouldn't be allowed.
Yeah. Listen, we're gonna have a lot of this, so just get ready, buddy. So we have a really strong strong cast. Sam Neill, Laura Dern, Jeff Goldblum. I mean, off the strength of them alone, we're good. Richard Attenberg, who was Hammond, Bob Peck, who was Muldoon. Always like a movie whenever we have a wild animal or something that's supposed to be contained, and you have like the one expert guy, like we have.
Yeah, the best.
Aaron Eckhart, guys. Thomas Jane in Deep Blue Sea, like that guy. Mm-hmm. Is always the one, whatever expert. He's always my favorite, and
it always works, man. It's in Jaws.
Eaton, yeah, always, like, man.
You always find that person. Like, yeah.
Is the ultimate, actually. That is the ultimate shark or whatever expert. They ate the fuck out of him, by the way.
You're just going to say Deep Blue Sea and you're not going to make the reference? Because I'll do it if you don't.
Yeah.
They ate me.
I'm doing it.
They ate me.
Shark ate me.
This is how I talk.
You see my movies? Juice,
that was a good one.
was a good one.
We really can't confirm if he was dead or not, though. All he's missing was an arm, man. Like, there's armless guys all over the place.
He'd be fine.
Right, he could be totally
about all over the place, but sure.
If he shows up,
what kind of bars are you going to, man?
One-armed Andy's, and there's not a coincidence behind that, I'll have you know. Yeah, it's not indicative of anything. It's just the name, Cole.
Not
you're
at
right.
all.
You're right.
We also have Sam Jackson and Wayne Knight, amongst others. Just all around great cast.
I mean, Samuel L. Jackson's in this movie.
He is in this movie.
Sam Jackson.
Yeah.
As a computer programmer who smoked 48 cigarettes. Or it could have just been that one cigarette with like the longest ash ever. Like the Cruella de Vil just had like.
That's the probably the case.
Sure. Yeah. But this is a movie, and this is something that we've talked about. Several movies, going back to the Alien Pod, of course, practical effects. And what made this movie great, amongst other things, The practical effects, it felt real. There's a lot of parts in this movie that I always like, man, they actually, they had dinosaurs. You know what I mean? Like, they were just like,
yeah, there were a couple. Yeah.
Really scary. And we can get into that when you get into the trivia. One of my actually favorite tidbits as far as this movie goes, where the T-Rex was actually malfunctioned on set pretty frequently because of rain.
It wet, yeah,
and it would just cool. come to life.
Fuck just move that. On its own, dude.
Yeah, fuck that. That's shit, man. Crazy. I'm moving back. Yeah, I'm going back to TV. You know, yeah.
I mean, I'd love to see it though, dude. That'd be like crazy. Like no one manning it just because it's wet. So like, I think it's like it the weight would shift in the hydraulics. Out. Yeah, and it would just move on its own. They said move like they'd be own. Like having lunch and no one would be around. Nope. It would just start moving.
Nope, I'm good. Yep, I'm going right. back to Beautician and the Beast.
Yeah,
like listen, just between you and me, a camera took this plot into Judy Dench, right? He's got bigger problems. Like, could you imagine?
First studio gig.
You're right, having to like call somebody's family and be like, "I'm sorry, your son was killed by the T-Rex on set.
They ate me."
The T-Rex ate me.
What kind of conversation is that? I couldn't imagine being
there's like no way to say it to you. You're like, it's no. an animatronic, like you can't even explain. Yeah. Like, yeah, it got wet and it started moving on its own. Like, you're going to jail. This is the sound. You murdered him and you're trying to cover it up. Like, there's yeah. no way right. to explain that.
I would much rather you be like, yeah, he actually tried to leak some of the movies, so we took him out back and shot him over.
Yeah. More
T-Rex,
believable. Yeah.
The T-Rex was rained on and himself. Stepped on him. I'd be like, no, thank you. And as far as practical, so there's a lot, I know a lot of people like the horror genre, and this is more, of course, a thriller, a suspense, all of the above. When it comes to movies like this, especially 1993, just the utilization of practical effects, and there's clearly some green screen moments here, but more often than not, these people were like face-to-face with a T-Rex or face-to-face with a raptor. And yes, it's, you know, puppet, animatronics, whatever, but did it make the movie seem that much more real whenever you have the practical effects going to each scene and just how great the sound was when it came to the roar of the dinosaurs or whatever?
So, yes, whenever I saw this movie, I was probably 5 or 6 years old. And so, like ooh. You guys touched on,
horrifying.
This is a thing that happened, you guys.
It's real shit, yeah.
I was there.
You want to step a real long mile? You want to get shot by real motherfucker?
Even now, watching it, it's pretty impressive, you know, even with my jaded adult eyes. You know, it's pretty impressive looking at it now.
It is. And it's like, I'm legit. So the scene that I always get to, and I'm just like, I get goosebumps, is the T-Rex scene where it gets, the T-Rex finds out that the fences are down and it's like over the top of the grandchildren's Jeep. But we'll get into that as far as like just how great that scene is set up. I mean, that's a good 5 to 7 minutes of just like suspense, you know what I mean? Like hair raising suspense, yeah. Because it get like it tests the fence like one by, and it's brilliant how like one by one the wires, like you could hear them snapping as a T-Rex steps out. Oh, it's completely great. Again,
water thing with the water in the print.
Yes, you can't forget
that is burned in my brain.
Oh, dude, hear the footsteps. You could see the water rumbling, and then like that first roar it let out. I don't know, the whole sound team just needed like a lifetime award. Like, I don't know if
it did. Don't worry. Oh, yeah. They got them.
I'm looking at the award. They definitely did. But
yeah.
Listen, this while it ended up being a disaster, this is definitely something that we could get a lot of people to go see. I mean, there's museums now of just bones and people are filing into it. So having a park that has actual dinosaurs or actual something that has been extinct for a very long time and being able to see them up close. Chris, I know we talked about field trips and how weird it would be. Like, I don't want to go to the Rock. I don't want to go to a prison and visit the inmate to go. But like this, while I would be extremely hesitant because it's like, man, if one of these things gets out, like it's a rat. I don't care. Like if, you know, whatever the most docile dinosaur gets out, it's still like, oh, Brontosaurus is out. We're all dead. You know what I mean? Like,
yes. This,
it's a wrap for all of us. But just seeing like the idea that Hammond had and the execution of it, and it all was flipped on his ear by Nedry, which we'll get to. Fuck that guy, but we'll get to it. How great of an idea and how much money could this have actually made had Nedry not thrown everything on its ear.
Chris ain't going. I can tell you right now. Let me tell you right now.
So I don't want to get too far ahead, but Ian Malcolm is probably one of my favorite characters in film. And I think like probably a lot of my personality and anxiety comes from his way of thinking. Like, what's the worst possible thing that could happen right now? And how likely is it? 1%? 1% too many for me. That's too high for my, too rich for my blood. So yeah, Cole hit on like the nail on the head. I probably wouldn't go because, like you said, he's the most docile, you know, vegetarian thing. It's out. Like, if it steps on you, you're just dead. Like, it would feel bad about it, but it would still. If an elephant gets out of the zoo right now, at least two people die somehow, somewhere. An elephant
always every time.
If an elephant escapes, someone's not going home, right? So But as far as like the how much money it would make, like all the money in the world, it would be
that lawyer said they could charge $10,000 a person, and people would pay it in 93. $10,000?
I don't even know what that looks like. That's like $1 million. That's actually like you can't go. Actually, like 10,000 in 93 means it's actually closed because no one.
It's unlimited. Yeah.
It'd be Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos there every day. Those are the only people who can afford to go. So
I don't know if you've ever seen $1 million in person. I promise you, there's a little bit something lost in translation. You open that suitcase, and there's like $2 bills in there. Go ahead. Sorry, Chris. Go ahead.
No. Look, we got the references for this. It's going to be fun. But it'd make an insane amount of money. Then getting to, is it a good idea?
Mm-hmm.
No, like regular zoos have things escape. The kangaroos just got to the Memphis Zoo, and one of them already got out. They've been there for 3 weeks. Like, and you want me to believe that? You're like, yeah, let's just get a zoo.
You're telling me there's a kangaroo bouncing around Memphis right now?
I mean, they caught him. Captivity for like maybe like 4 days before, like, yeah, so one of the kangaroos has escaped. I was like, they just got there. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
They figured out how to open the doors after being there for 2 days. So, you know, like, it's
welcome. Yeah, learned how to open the doors.
That scene always terrified me too. That's insane. But yeah, no, it's definitely got some like fun stuff to it. And it would be a thing that people would love to go to, but man, it would go even worse in real life. I just know, like, the movie was like the best case scenario, I think. Like, at this point in the series, all the dinosaurs are loose across the country, and I'm just like, I think they got off all right. They got off a little easy, actually.
Yeah, it's not that bad. They're only in Costa Rica, so it's okay. I guess
there's a velociraptor on I-55, but the worst things could happen, I think.
It stops in Tunica.
It's hiking, yeah. Mississippi.
That's where Dames go to die, isn't it?
That's where Triceratops goes to die, isn't it? It's Mississippi. Cole, I'll throw this to you real quick because I already know your answer, but is this an attraction? Because you said you would go to The Rock. Is this an attraction?
Oh, for sure, dude. I'm in. Like, put me in the paddock. Let me see these motherfuckers. You know what I mean? Like, I'm totally in, man. It wouldn't take much convincing at all. I'd have to, you know, get a windfall of money to go to the $10,000 person park, but I'm
that's
in.
That's
an agency. That velociraptor looks
honestly, if that was a real thing, I'd probably be like that dude with the short shorts. It's like the games keeper. Like, I'd have been like obsessed. I'd be like, I gotta work here.
Yeah.
I look good in those short shorts, man.
Oh, no doubt.
The whole fit, dude. You'd rock the whole fit.
That's hot boy summer, man. You gotta have a
little hat on.
Let those
guys out, thighs out.
Seriously. So
you spice it up too much, though. You'd wear too good of a watch and you'd make yourself a target for the velociraptors. It'd be impossible for you to hide.
Just enough, right? Yeah, they would just stare at you.
Too good for your own good, unfortunately.
I have a G-Shock.
Yeah. He has cufflinks on with shorts for some reason, and all the raptors just attack him.
Velociraptor, like, wow, he's handsome. Let's get him next.
Yeah. Fuck that guy up.
But they just tailor you a suit, though, more than
We're just all wearing suits. Running around,
he's getting close to my shaft.
In a suit is funny. Yeah. like you live in the pack.
Like, could you imagine having to make a turtleneck for a fucking brontosaurus?
Oh, yeah, Jesus. So, you know those like where it's like, how would a dog wear pants or something? And it's like, you know, that's all I vision was something like this. Like, how a velociraptor wear a suit is like, would it be more?
Is it wear a tie or is it fly? Is it a collar open?
It's a bolo tie, I think. Yeah, I think that's the kind of dinosaur it is. But
my brain, move too fast. Yeah, oh, sorry, if our brain moved too fast, you know, those memes just like throw me to the wolves, I'll come back leading the pack. But I imagine like Cole being talking to Velociraptor.
I'll come back and, like, come back. Yeah, yeah, they're all in suits.
The Velociraptors all come back leading the pack. They're all just like fucking Daniel Craig.
You make it sound like I'm like a hustle culture influencer or something.
I'm just saying.
Yeah. I'll work on it.
That's actually great. They all come back looking like Tom Ford, like a catalog. Yeah. Anna, sorry, but as a parent, would you, is this, I know this is something that is appealing, but would you take your son to go to Jurassic Park if it was like, we're gonna have a weekend preview for free, you know, it's like you can come for Friday, Saturday, Sunday, just fly in for 2 days and go out, would you go?
So this is the first of two movies, at least. So Jurassic World also does this. Mm-hmm. The mom sends the kids with a relative.
Bryce Dallas Howard. Yeah.
No. <I'm not. laughs> So that's at least two movies showing why that is not a good idea.
The generic Jessica Chastain.
Yeah. Oh, that, yeah.
You put them in the same room. I can't tell you who is who.
Bless your heart.
Routinely look
one holding the Oscar, unfortunately. That's what I have to do.
Ah, there we go. There we go. Chris.
which one was holding an Oscar? That's yeah. Jessica Gao.
That's right.
That's a good differentiator. I'm go ahead and tell you. So yeah, we have this great park idea. Listen, it's exciting as hell to me. I wouldn't go, but I'd be like, man, that sounds but if there was like
you're making the right choice.
But, if there was a Zoom visit, I would definitely be down for that. If somebody,
oh yeah, I'd be the COVID visit. Yeah, the COVID visit.
Damn
I'd
it!
I'd be all right, over me. That, dude. I'd be all over the COVID tour. Are you kidding me? Someone has me FaceTiming the T-Rex. That'd be awesome. I'm like, flip the camera around. Can he see me? Flip the camera.
Yeah.
They all got masks on, though.
The T-Rex in the meeting's like, hey, I'm going to go share my screen now. Can everybody see this? And it's like eating. You know, it's like, can everybody see me?
Yeah.
This is the most ridiculous tangent we've ever been on.
This movie is great, though.
Raptors wearing tuxes, and now we have a T-Rex trying to share its screen.
Screen sharing. I'm not a cat.
Sorry, I'm not that good at this. Can you
for
see
the record? Screen? Yeah.
So we have an extremely novel idea, but it's also, I won't even say borderline unethical. It's extremely unethical, and it's something that we have Sadler and Grant and Malcolm are all on the same page as it comes to them not really loving this idea. But first, we have to set them all up first. And so the very first scene, we have the handlers trying to load or unload the raptor. And it's like, we're not even 4 minutes into this movie and raptor's already eaten the handler and that family's still for $20 million. That guy didn't stand. Like, what was Muldoon going to do? He was wrestling with a raptor to try to get this guy. Like, as soon as it grabbed a guy's leg, I'm like, sorry, buddy.
Yeah. Also, how did that guy's leg not just get ripped off? You know what I mean?
Get snapped. Right. I was thinking the same thing because, at that point, he's just getting quartered by, like, pulled apart. But, you know, we have the handler getting killed instantly. And so it was like, okay, I don't know what just ate him, but something really scary and strong.
Not good. Because,
yeah, it's not good at all. So we have Sadler and Grant, and they're, you know, they have their dig that they're going on. The story is that Sadler was like scaring that kid with. I don't know why that cracks me up so much, of like Grant telling that kid the horror story about the raptors attacking him. I think it was to set up the raptor attack later in the movie. But that is why would he try to spook a kid about dinosaurs attacking him? Like, dinosaurs have been dead for millions. It's not like he's going to be like, hey, I'm going to go get some water. Anybody need anything? And like a pack of raptors are just out. You know,
well, that little bastard was talking shit, dude.
He was.
Can't be talking shit. Yeah. Talk shit, get hit, you know?
By a velociraptor. As the saying goes.
As it turns out, that's likely.
Yeah.
Yeah, very likely that velociraptors would attack him. So we have Hammond. He shows up to the dig and he's popping champagne in there. How did he get in their trailer? Like the helicopter lands and he wasn't in it?
He was already gone. Yeah. He like parachuted in or some shit, man.
Yeah. That was a diversion. He doesn't even need that cane. He was running just fine.
Yeah.
Tricked us all.
Yeah. The Kansas City Shuffle. He just pretended to be to me. He was a triathlete or some sort, like he Ultraman Ironman events. But anyway, so he's in their trailer and he's telling them, "Hey, I've got this big thing. I need your approval on what could it be?" And while we knew it was going to be something big, Anna, did we think that it was going to be, obviously with Movement Name Jurassic Park, we know something big was coming, but did we think it was going to be like actual park was already ready, or it's like, do you think we should do this thing? How do we feel when we show up and there's actual dinosaurs whenever they land?
Yeah, I don't think they were expecting that one.
No.
Yeah.
I don't. Well, and did they even know what? He just said it's right up your alley, but did right. he didn't tell them what it was.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, he didn't give very much detail outside of like he's going to fund their research for the next 5-10 years,
which weird, right? Because he already had him on fucking like payroll, you know,
right?
But he hadn't asked him about dinosaurs. Like, you're paying the two expert dinosaur people, but meanwhile you're building fucking dinosaurs. Like, come on.
Right. Yeah, he's like, who should we get? I know, we'll get these guys and then we'll bring in the dinosaurs. I think that he didn't bring them in because of exactly what they said once they got to the island and were asking questions. They probably would have been, he was like, oh, they'll see him and approve it, as opposed to them not seeing it yet or just like shooting the idea down. But they get to the island and it's actually one of the coolest, Chris, we got about what, 10 minutes in before we get that's the name of the movie. it is really, really cool how like they land and like the score throughout the whole movie was absolutely incredible.
Fantastic.
So I actually played the theme song in junior high on my trombone for like
talent.
Yeah.
Did you win the talent show or was it just something you're just doing for fun?
Well, it was something we went and did and just to see if we could win a medal, which I did, of course, because the devotion was there. To what?
So you better have won something though. I mean, I feel like it's not easy. Also, I feel like you would summon a dinosaur by playing that. This one
actually did. I can't talk about it legally. So
it's funny you should say that. I was working in a brewery a few years back and I was up on a ladder at about 4 a.m. in the morning, like cleaning a tank, you know, and I hear the theme song come over PA like very loudly. And I turn around and there's 9 grown men running like dinosaurs right behind me while the song plays like they were raptors. Yeah. True story.
I love that.
That's incredible. Yeah.
I would have panicked.
4 a.m. thing.
I mean, they had been up all night drinking, so it was funny to them. I'm a grown ass man, so it was less funny.
That's not bad at all, though. So we get to the island. And one of the more, so there's several, I feel like, iconic scenes in this movie. This one, I think it's got to be kind of towards the top. Chris, whenever they first get to the island and Sadler and Grant, they're all in the Jeep and the Jeep stops and you just see Grant like talking about, you know, looking at the brochures, whatever, that he looks over and he sees the brontosaurus. How realistic was that reaction? Because I mean legitimately he looked like he had seen, even whenever he turned Sadler's head to look too as she was talking. How great was that scene whenever he saw the brontosaurus and just like the sheer ecstasy in his face? It was like a kid on Christmas morning. How awesome was that scene to show what was coming? Obviously,
no, it was a perfect way to do it. I think it's one of those things that's like the situation was so big that even though that was a great reaction, I still feel like it was kind of undersold, like, and not in a bad way. It's like, it's a dinosaur, right? Like you have been, you know, like, of course there are other scientists in the lab and there's him, like your entire career has been like digging up fossils and, you know, just the remains of a dinosaur. I'm like, wow, I'm looking at an actual dinosaur. I'm looking at this crater full of bones and I'm really looking at a dinosaur. You see like an actual alive feasting dinosaur like you know, in a very reachable distance. Like, I know he wasn't talking, but he still wasn't speechless enough for me. Like, he should have, like, actually gone mute the rest of the movie. Like, I, my mind would have been blown. Like, I wouldn't have been able to try to get, you know, Sadler's attention. I would have just been too stuck staring at that. Like, I would have forgotten what was going on. But again, he did a fantastic job. And I think that scene does a good job of selling, you know, this wondering how long it takes before we get to finally see the dinosaur, because at this point we haven't seen one, right? Because you know the raptor thing, we don't actually see it. We like hear it at best. And so to, you know, have that reveal for us and how long it made us wait, we're just like, you know, we know he's looking at a dinosaur with that wonder of what's he seeing, and the way that it's just a grown man standing up in a Jeep with his mouth wide open, getting his colleague and turning their head and like, that's an actual dinosaur. Like that, that's just a fantastic, it's honestly one of the most iconic scenes in all of movies, like hands down.
It is. It's just great because, like I said, just the sheer excitement in his face, like you said, it was dialed up 100%, and still it still felt undersold. I'm actually with you on that. I was kind of trying to put my finger on it as I was watching, because I'm like, I don't know if he's doing enough, and he was like doing the most in that scene, but I don't know that he mustered any other words, anything else. Cole, when you're watching that scene, and then of course going to Jeff Goldblum, he's like, "You did it, you crazy son of a bitch, you did it!" Like,
yeah.
Everybody's reaction outside, of course, the driver and Hammond, even Hammond being excited. To me, he looked like a mother on Christmas morning, whenever it's like, "Oh, I couldn't get, you know, I couldn't find that toy.
Just needed the bathrobe.
I couldn't get the T-Rex this year. I have to wait right, next yeah. year. Yeah. Exactly. Until next year."
Hey, go in the kitchen.
Bitch has a T-Rex.
Grab those biscuits out of the oven, and then open
it's
the oven.
It's a Velociraptor. The T-Rex is in.
Shit. Thank you, what I wanted. It's not movie quality, but it's still great, though.
It's still great, though. Yeah. I mean, it's an iconic scene, right? Like, it's the one that it immediately comes to mind when you think of Jurassic Park. And I. Before rewatching, which actually wasn't that long ago that I watched this, but it was the one I was like, this is going to be my best scene for sure. And I actually did change my mind, but it is so iconic that it's the one you think of. The music coming in, just his reaction is priceless, right? Like, he almost faints when he hears about the T-Rex, which is great. Yeah. And there's just something electric about Laura Dern in that scene specifically, that it's cool. Just like, whatever it is, it's just like, oh, okay, this is fucking awesome. Like, they are in love with this. But, you know, that's what makes that so impressive, is even the acting and the cinematography and everything was exceptional, but it was also like, there wasn't an actual dinosaur there. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, they were able to pull that shit off, and it was nothing. Right. Yeah. I mean, there may have been. Yeah. But I assume that there was.
You're the one that's seen a real dinosaur, Anna. Are you, you're almost about to reveal classified information.
She's about to get eaten by one right now.
It's like, that's what, and Chris, that's why you wanted to get into acting, right? Because they train those dinosaurs. They train
those dinosaurs
to pretend like they were in Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
They were in Hawaii. They weren't really in Jurassic Park.
Right, yeah, they were just in San Diego. It was like, look, we need you to act like
acting. Clearly, really. A movie set in LA.
Right,
yeah,
but we move forward, and they are so they get to the scene where Hammond is asking them. Well, he's showing them that they're going around, and is going to the tour of like the lab, and they're going to see how the dinosaurs are created. And of course, Sadler and all them, Sadler, Grant, and Malcolm get out, and they go into the lab, which I'm sure is like. I'm sure they're supposed to be like sanitized or something. They just like walk into this room. It's just like, you can't walk in here. But as far as their concerns, Anna, and from a scientific, unscientific, ethical standpoint, they all, like, while they were extremely excited, also were like, this is something that we shouldn't be doing, because we don't, like, just like Sadler was saying, we don't know, like, it's a completely different ecosystem. They don't know where they are. They don't know. We can't both coexist, because the dinosaurs are just gonna do what they did and ate half the island. You know what I mean? Like, absolutely valid points, correct?
Yes, and Ian, you know, Malcolm points out they just wanted to figure out if they could. They didn't stop and think if they should.
Right.
So
way long.
Yeah, that's a touchy point there.
Yeah. Well, because it's just like, yeah, this is exciting. We're going to have a bunch of dinosaurs around, but also there's going to be a bunch of dinosaurs around too.
And so yeah, like, right. Yeah. What's the downside here?
What do we do with these things now?
Yeah, because are we going to be able to domesticate them, or are they just going to eat everybody and then we're just going to have to, we're going to have like the biggest insurance policy of all time? But yeah, Cole, I mean, like their concerns were definitely warranted. And it shows as the movie goes on. Of course, the dinosaurs didn't just break out, but I mean, eventually, like, this is the, I think when Murphy's Law was written, it was like, yeah, Jurassic Park was like, in Murphy's Law was coming around, right. But definitely warranted as far as their concerns go.
Yeah, I mean, like, there was literally nobody on the island that was like, yeah, this is a bad idea. You know what I mean? Like, they could ask, like, this is the perfect example of just hiring people to say yes. You know what I mean? Because, like, there's no way an environmentalist was like, yeah, this entire ecosystem will be dead in 6 months if we do this, right? Like, that's how this shit works, right?
No expense.
You're right. Yeah, that's a good point.
Those people are expensive.
Yeah, people were expensive, and they also like brought in plants that weren't even native to the island, because that always goes well, right? Like, we don't have any historical data on that. Yeah.
Right. What's this West Indian lilac? Okay, cool. It's pretty. Let's plant a bunch of it.
It's pretty. Plant it in this island that we're going to put fucking dinosaurs on.
Yeah, even the handler was like, well, we know it's toxic to the dinosaurs, but they don't eat them. She's like, are you sure? He's like, pretty sure. It's like, no,
pretty
no.
sure. Cool. What?
No part
this is your job, dude. These are dinosaurs, man. Yeah,
you can't say you're pretty sure to anything.
You don't run a petting zoo in West Texas. Like,
yeah, you didn't have a bunch of, I don't know, prairie dogs out there just like, come on over here. And anyway,
yeah.
So they're all very opposed to this, as they should be. The really only person on their side is a lawyer who was extremely opposed, not even like 6 hours earlier. Now he's already
blood like thirsty talking. Lawyer.
Yeah, the bloodthirsty,
blood sucking lawyer is the only one.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah,
the blood sucking lawyer is what Hammond said. But we saw. We also see that Nedry is up to no good. He has a secret meeting with Dotson, which is hilarious. That's it.
Dotson, we got Dotson here.
We got Dotson. He's like, see, nobody cares.
That's me.
We saw him already plotting to, it's like, yeah, I'm going to have this window here where the system's going to be down, and I'm going to get these embryos out, and we're going to get to the dock, and then everything's going to be good. Chris, as a movie expert and as a disaster movie expert, we knew that it was going to go sideways. And when it comes to going sideways, like, there's going sideways, and then there's this. Because, like, when the system's down, everything gets, like, everything starts to just run. From the beginning, just when he talked about having this 18-minute window of, like, the systems being down. And initially, you know, you want to think, oh, it's just going to be the computers or the cameras, but you don't also think that, like, the fences are down and everything else like that. You knew it was going to go sideways, but, like, to this extent?
Yeah, no, like, definitely not to this extent. Everything almost got free. Like, everything that could harm and maim and just murder people was like, all right, I'm no longer in a cage now. Time to get wacky. And like, even that plan, I'm like, I don't even think that I would, like, I don't know if there's enough money in the world for me to take that risk. Like, I'm sure they're going to pay him very handsomely, but I'm just like, if this happens, these things can get loose. Like, yeah, I can get all the eggs, but also I might get jumped by Velociraptor. Imagine though, you know what I mean? Like, we already talked about, like, I couldn't imagine having to explain animatronic T-Rex killing somebody. Imagine having to go through your head like, now I can do this, but there's a high possibility that, you know, a T-Rex will get me. Like
a T-Rex.
Like a T-Rex, man.
Inmate is going to get out and just potentially rob me or something.
That's just some guy. If you find some stairs and push him down, you're good. You can't push a T-Rex downstairs, man. You can lose that battle.
You're not winning that one.
Got out of hand, but just like, it's just way worse than anyone could imagine. And like, I think this is, like, him taking that is just evident to it being so much worse than he thought, because he really did think, oh, shut this down, I'm going to drive into one of the enclosures, get the stuff, and then just leave. Like, that's the part that always blows my mind, because when he saw it, he didn't react like he was well aware that was in there. And so I was like, it could have been anything in there.
Right.
And you're just like, let me just run in here and grab this and then just get back in this Jeep from 1987. And surely I'll be fine. Like,
a soft top Jeep, and just like, hey, I'm just gonna drive out of here.
Terrible plan, man.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, clearly the dollar signs is where it drove him, and that's what he said to Dots, and he's like, don't get cheap on me whenever the check came. And I'm sure the check, I'm sure it was like $11 worth of food.
11 cents, dude.
Be honest. Like, how much would it take for everyone here to do it? There has to be a dollar. There isn't one for me, so I don't have to answer. I can tell you for a fact there's no way I'm doing it. But surely at least two of you have a dollar amount that you would take to do this.
To pull a Nedry?
$100.
Yeah. Okay. But you do it for the thrill. So I could see you doing a lot of people go skydiving. You steal dinosaur eggs for $100.
They said, real dinosaur. Y'all want some of this million-year-old dinosaur? It's a
real dinosaur.
He said, it's the miracle of life.
The most baller ever. Cut his head off
and drink regular butter. Scissors. Just regular kitchen scissors is the funniest part.
He just had, just regular, just like
construction paper scissors, dude.
Just right. More in the fridge.
I'm out personally.
There is a number for me, and I, like you said, Chris, everybody does have a number. Here's the thing
for me and Anna. After
that number, and like, let's just say I get the embryos out, and I'm like, here you go, Dotson and your team. And I go, I have my little nest egg set up in Nantucket or wherever, whatever deserted island. If I turn on the news and I see all the destruction.
All the shit that's been caused. Yeah.
Let me turn on ABC. Like, I'm the Bulls game has come on. Let me turn that on. And like, breaking news is like, breaking news.
Dinosaur attacks.
And we're just like, wait a second. Is that because of me? I would feel awful. Let me go ahead and tell you. I would feel downright bad. So while that I do have a number I can't be, but I'm not going to say it because then I'm just going to incriminate myself. So
when this happens, they'll know. They're like, did anyone just magically lose $2 trillion in their bank account? Find out where it went.
Yeah, please.
Find out who's been paid $2 trillion in the last 48 hours. I think we're on to something.
See, that's why you take 100, because then there's too many. Yeah, there's too many targets. Yeah, I don't think I could do it either. Like, number one, the chances of getting eaten by a dinosaur while trying to are just too high, right?
Like you said, Chris,
even if I knew I could get away with it.
1% is too much.
Yeah. If I knew I could get away with the money outside of the chance that I might get eaten by a dinosaur, I'm still not taking my chances.
What,
you know,
a wild,
like,
variable to account for.
You know, sure, you don't need $1 million if you get your fucking legs ripped off.
I could be a billionaire. Or...
or not eaten by a raptor.
Because like, there's no scenario where it's not an excruciating death. Even, I mean, everybody who died in this movie died like painfully, and it wasn't right away either. So there's nothing desirable about getting ripped or shred by any of these dinosaurs. So no,
the lawyer had it best, actually.
Who's that?
The lawyer had it best. His was
pretty quick, yeah.
Yeah,
relatively.
He bit off the shitter.
Even so, that didn't look great.
Yeah, yeah, it's pretty brutal. Yeah, Half of them was one right place.
Yeah, whenever Sadler got there, exactly. Sadler Muldoon got there, is like, I think I found whatever his name was. She's like, yeah, I think he's over here too. So, he was still screaming in the T Rex's mouth. No thanks, buddy.
No, I think getting stepped on, that's the way to go.
Yeah, sure. That's pretty innocent, right?
Yeah, you just
maybe
be like,
I don't know.
Yeah, you'd just be gone. Yeah,
I hope so, man.
You'd go. Yeah, I don't know. You'd probably go into shock with all of them, so you'd probably be all right.
I'd just go into shock just seeing one, man. Like, back to it, even just seeing like the enclosure.
Yeah, I had a heart attack. I wouldn't need it to eat me. I'd just be like,
seven. Yeah, it could have been like 700 feet worth of like bulletproof glass. And I'm like, we couldn't get 1,000 feet worth of this stuff. you guys think this is a good idea, huh? You think he's just not going to get through here? He's going to escape like Shawshank Redemption. He's going to chip away over time.
That's it. They're smart, man. They were testing the fence and shit.
They
should have killed all those motherfuckers. As soon as they figured out that they were playing chess and shit, they should have been like, all right, cool. We got to get rid of this. Pull the plug on this experiment. Yeah. One of them's got a damn bachelor's degree already.
Yeah. They just put X-lax in the cows, and they're just like, they're just going to diarrhea to death. But it just didn't work out, though. Worked in the absolute the other way around. But so we have all the guys that get on the island, and we have Malcolm, who is a chaotician. What was his actual title?
Yeah, I still don't know. He was a mathematician. Why the fuck was he there? 11. But I'll like because he was good at math. Like,
hey, man, somebody got to crunch those numbers. He was on some sense. Someone had to be like.
So he was a was he like a risk assessor? Was he basically Ben Stiller from a long from like
a, a risk assessor?
What was the comment at the beginning of the movie when they were talking about bringing him in and he's too trendy or something like that? I could not figure out what his actual job title was.
Yeah, I don't know.
Hammond called him a rock star. Yeah.
He said, you bring a rock star. I bring scientists. You bring the rock star. So I don't know actually.
Yeah.
What is? I mean, he like Cole said, he was good with numbers, but outside of that, I don't know what his actual
in chaos
position. Yeah, chaosetician is what he kind of said, and then he went into his chaos, started talking about his chaos theory. And so, to me, that just seems like a risk assessor, if like kind of dumbed down. And then his smooth line, he said, "Ellie, I can't. You know, you must be familiar with the concept of attraction." Like that was a great line, a really really good line. Also a good line is anytime somebody says relax in a movie like this, because then at that point, like I should have actually timed it how often I could actually relax after somebody says relax and something like this. But we have the sheer ecstasy of seeing dinosaurs for the first tour, and so
dinosaurs.
Things are real dinosaur eggs.
That video kills me every time. It's like, who calls them that?
Colonel Sanders was.
They got some like Deep South attorney to do that video.
It was a narrator app. That's Alan's narrator app from the other guys.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Alan and his apps, man. It's the front line narrator app.
He's got this new one. Tell him about it. It's called Faceback.
Faceback.
Terrible reviews.
Those are what the back of their head looks like. What a worthless fucking app, man.
It did help get them at the end, though.
Sure did.
Got the security team. So we start to go on a tour before they do go on the tour, of course, they have their objections about the island. But of course, they still want to see things. However, they do find out that they're maybe sometimes they can read asexually. But we did get a funny line when Malcolm was like, you know, talking about how life finds a way, and he's like, well, you know, there it is. But he talks about how you have all the dinosaurs on the island, and the scientists tell him, well, you know, there's no unauthorized breeding on Jurassic Park. Anna, you see something like that and you hear about like wild animals in the wild, instantly you know, okay, this isn't like however you lay out this plan. And we get the chaosetician talking about this. Obviously, this is like setting up where we're going to get whatever this thing that's not supposed to happen is definitely going to happen. And we knew that from a very early stage in the movie.
I'm pretty gullible, to be honest. I probably just believe whatever they told me. Like, oh, okay, they're all female. That's great. Perfect. Y'all have this contained. He spared no expense.
It's all figured out. Yeah.
Yes. So you keep going back to that. So you feel like him sparing no expense meaning, okay, so nothing's going to go wrong, right?
That's what I would think. But like I said,
sparing no expense equals nothing goes wrong. Okay. I think that's fair, Chris. You know, like I said, we watch a bunch of movies like this, and we know how things go. And like I said, we knew we were going to go sideways this quickly, but it did, and it went sideways real badly. But when it comes to them being like, "Oh, we control this, we control that," and then they're being like, "Well, you're basically playing God," we knew that something somehow was going to go badly. And in the case of reproduction, or the animals just being like something doing their own thing.
Yeah, no, like there's just, it's like Malcolm said, you just can't control something. Like at the end of the day, they're still living organisms, and you know, evolution and other things could have just happened even down the line. You can say as much as you want. They try to keep it from having access to the gene that, you know, or the chromosome that will make them into males, but it's just, you know, all it takes is for just one of those that you mess up on or something else weird happens. And you know what I mean? Like all it takes is for just one from any of those species to become a male and no telling what would have happened. And I think it's just like, I'm just too paranoid. Like even with the spare, right. Look, Universal Studios said they spared no expense and you're going to get a kick out of this on the Mummy ride. It was like one of their most expensive rides at the point. The one time that I rode it, it got stuck. You know what I got stuck under? I got stuck under a flamethrower for like 5 minutes, and they couldn't get the ride to keep moving, and they couldn't turn the flamethrowers off. I was just stuck there, and they had to emergency evacuate. Yes. So after a moment like that, like, you can't convince me that you can control anything on Earth. You can't tell me that you can control a bottle of water. Like, yeah, that's what you think. till it turns to a flash flood in that ball of water. Now look at you, drowning. Now what
happened? Your flamethrower at Universal Studios.
Man, it was awful.
It all makes sense awful. Now. It all makes sense. Like, my man doesn't want to be at Alcatraz. He don't want to be nowhere. Just leave him alone. Leave my man alone.
Don't make him go anywhere ever. Yeah, is there a flamethrower there? I'm good.
No, I'm out. Are there marbles in a jar or marbles in a bowl? No, thanks. I'm good on that, too.
Yeah, three things that put me around. Dinosaurs, a jar full of marbles, or a flamethrower. If none of those things are present, I'm coming.
You know, I'm good to go. Yeah.
I'm there. You just got one of those? Nah. Man.
Or also three other things. Kylie Minogue, the dimples above a woman's buttocks, and a man face when I'm about to hurt
him. When I'm about to hurt him.
That's a nice feature. Sure, Chris, if you don't want Chris there, have those. Beautiful feature. Yeah, have one of those three things and Chris will never show up. That's guaranteed. But we have Kylie Minogue. So they go out on the soft tour. So it's a soft opening, grand opening. One day I went to the Oasis.
Flamingo.
The next day it was open. So when does it open? July 3rd.
July 3rd.
So we have the soft opening. We have the out of town preview for these things, and they get to all the enclosures, and none of the dinosaurs are showing. And so clearly we knew something was coming because then they alluded to the storm coming as well and having to potentially cut the tour short. And that's actually what I thought, even with Nedry, knowing that he was going to kind of do whatever his thing was, I thought that the storm was going to like knock out our generator and then the whole island was going to be crippled that way. But whenever you have that coupled with Nedry's, you know, wrongdoings, like the ultimate shitstorm and then letting dinosaurs out, like, could it have possibly gotten any worse?
A storm always makes everything better, you know? Like, that's all you ever need in a movie. Everything. If you want to build suspense, is just have a fucking... And it's always, like, the worst storm on record, too. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's never, like, a light rain. It's like, oh, my God, this is fucking crazy, you know? But, yeah, I mean, the shit storm, but, like, also... The very like underthought idea of shutting down the whole security system. You know what I mean? It's like, I'm pretty sure he could have been like, oh, hey, I got to run and get a new computer at the boat or something. You know what I mean? Like, there had to be a better thing for him to do than shut the whole security system down for the whole park. That just seems like a misguided move by him.
Yeah. Especially knowing that he was going to have to go through the park itself, and not like he was going to go on like the perimeter of it, so he wouldn't have to worry about any of the dinosaur enclosures. He was going to have to drive through, and so with all the security measures down, even with just like, you know, the main thing you think is like, oh, we'll just turn the cameras off so they won't see me getting these embryos, and then he's going to have to also like go into the Dilophosaurus right. paddock or whatever it was. That, you know, like, no, I'm going to think of something else to do, because if I have to drive through here and he like. But again, like you said, it was like the worst storm, and he couldn't see, and the Jeep didn't have defrost or something, and so he's like, his glasses were fogged,
and he's driving full speed, you know, right? This. Yeah, like I mean, I know he's trying to beat the 15-minute clock, but that ended like 7 minutes ago. You know, you already missed that. You missed that.
Yeah, his window's done because, well, it was the perfect storm. So we get the tour, and none of the dinosaurs are showing up. And so we get out there, and they, you know, Sadler and Malcolm are talking about his chaos theory, and he has the drop of water that goes down the back of her hand, and then he does it again. He's like, no two things happen at once, and still, I still have no. He's like Tommy and Martin, like I have no idea what his job is. Like, I don't think he has a job outside of, like, dropping really cool lines, but. The tour goes on, and we get the sick Triceratops. And it's
wrong decade, man. Because if he were born in like the TikTok era, he would have been very famous.
Oh my god!
He could have had like 5 4-minute videos talking about chaos theory, and everybody and their fucking brother would randomly believe it. You know,
even Alex Jones would be like, "Shit, this guy's onto something."
Like, damn, he's onto something.
This guy's smart as hell. That freaking nut. So we have the sick Triceratops, and it gets, you know, we find out it has the West Indian lilac, and it's eating that, and that's why it's, you know, stumbling and has dilated pupils.
Oh,
and
Ellie needs to see you didn't check the trivia?
Shit.
No, it wasn't the vanilla lilac.
Wait, what?
It wasn't.
What was it?
It was the bullet to the knee. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, didn't react well to getting shot in the leg. I don't know.
I don't remember, so what was Cole, do you have that pulled up?
I don't. Yeah, I don't know what you were.
Wait, so you took the Triceratops was sick, but it wasn't from the West Indian lilac?
It was not the West Indian lilac. I can look this up.
Impossible.
Yeah, well, she looked in the shit, and there wasn't any there. But I don't remember. I don't remember why it was sick. Yeah,
I don't remember what it was. I always think the craziest part about that is that
car accident,
she
probably
got there like 10 minutes late and was the first person to notice the pupils had been dilated. I was like, did the vet not think, let me check the pupils?
I'm like, telling you, they got all these people fucking like on like or something, man.
Like, how do you not check that?
All right. Yeah, so the Triceratops lacked suitable teeth for grinding food. So, like birds, would swallow rocks and use them as gizzard stones. In the digestive tract, these rocks would grind the food to aid in digestion. After 6 weeks, the rocks would become too smooth to be useful, and the animal would regurgitate them.
Huh.
Wow. Good lord.
Damn, that's
nature is terrifying. You see what I mean, man? You created something that chews on and swallows rocks to help swallow its food. And you're like, yeah, let's get a book. Like, that's one of the most harmless things at the park. And you're just like, this thing that swallows rocks. Let's just have it out in the
ground. Digest food? Fuck, man. Yeah. I'm going to try that.
No, please don't. You have teeth that work, please. I beg of you.
Yeah,
that's fair.
Yeah, don't. Don't do that.
My career as a hustle culture influencer would really take a hit.
Diet is rock.
Same, man. You got to smile in a lot of those pictures. You can't explain that. You think the Velociraptors are going to respect you if you break all your teeth?
No.
Let me give you a little hint. They won't.
It's hard to do Wolf of Wall Street quotes without teeth.
Yeah, you're not the least.
I'm not saying hustle in your mouth is all gums. Good luck.
Yeah.
Good luck.
That's gonna come out real bad. I'm not gonna lie to you. So it's time to go back. You know, it's like the storm is coming. So you have Samuel L. Jackson coming over the PA or over the intercom saying, "No, everybody needs to come back, get back in the vehicles, come back to the island." The rain, the storm is just that was like miles out is now seconds out. So like the fastest, Cole, like you said, the fastest moving,
the worst storm on record, man.
Mother of all storms. So we get back and Ellie's like, "Oh, I'm gonna take the separate Jeep." So they get back, and then that's whenever the system goes down. And like we said, so this is the most harrowing scene of all time. As far as movies go, Cole, can you think of a scarier one? So, Anna, like you're talking about, you have they're sitting in the car and it's quiet, and then, you know, all you hear is rain. They're sitting in the Jeep waiting on the power to come back on, and we just hear the T-Rex walking. And but what we see first is the ripples in the water, and then we hear the footsteps and they get closer. Is there a scarier setup to execution to a few minute scene that you can think of, Cole, in like recent history?
Ooh, that's a tough one, man. I don't know if you ever saw the original Mummy with Brendan Fraser in it, but that one had a no, I would say there were some like pretty horrifying scenes in that, but no, I would think the closest one is probably from Jaws, which is hilarious because it's kind of paced the same way because it's made by the same director. But those are that's the one that comes to my mind, but there's nothing like this, right? Because like you said earlier, it's not like a shock scare, like a lot of horror movies will do. And especially of this era, it's more of a suspense thing. Like, you know, it's happening, but they let you just kind of stew in it for a while. Right. And like, it does this smart thing where they tell you a little bit about the T-Rex while it's happening. He's like, well, they can't see movement, so you need to be still. So now all of a sudden we're fucking T-Rex experts. So when people are moving and stuff, we're horrified by what's going on, right? So it's just done so sharply, but it kind of tricks your brain into thinking, oh, this is what we need to do right here. And, you know, to do something like that and for it to survive as long as it did and still have that same effect on me is crazy.
It is crazy. And as you watch that scene, like each thing gets more and more terrifying because he's just like, you see the cables come down, and then the granddaughter asks, Lexi asks, you know, what happened to the goat? And then the leg falls on top of the, right on top of the Jeep. And then we have, it's like Cole saying, it's like, his vision is based on movies. So dude, so like, he's almost like narrating the demise of like, as he's going on, it's like, their vision is based on moving, don't move. And then like, you have the grandson shine the light directly in its eye. Chris, I will say real quick, I'll throw it to you. Shot when it hits the T-Rex's eye, and the eye like gets big and then closes, like focuses in. It focuses in on the light. How awesome was that one quick shot?
It's great for all the reasons we're saying. This scene is great, right? It just, it adds to that tension. It is just like you said, it's a very quick scene. They didn't linger on it for too long. It's just this quick moment, right, of him shining the light, the T-Rex noticing, you know, where that light's coming from and noticing them. It happens so fast, it doesn't really linger with you long enough for you to really think about it. It just kind of pops in, freaks you out, looks incredible, and like it continues to move forward. And that's like some of the best stuff to do when you have a movie like this and you want those scenes like this. Like it's nice to have some lingering terror, but there's nothing better than like that sharp moment that is just really memorable, right? Like it just, it happens mm-hmm. quick, but it sticks with you forever and just really adds to the scene. And man, that's just like a fantastic part of an already insanely good scene. Like any longer, if that scene sits for too long, it's probably still good because you're like, oh my, it's a T-Rex, but it doesn't hit as hard as you feeling like them, like it sees you and then it's like, okay, I'm coming to get you. So it's perfect, man.
Right. Perfect. Absolutely. And you're watching scene and you're already terrified as that scene goes on. And Cole, like you're saying, whenever Grant's talking about their vision is based on movement, I actually did find myself the first few times, of course, like sitting, actually thinking of moving myself, but like you get that so wrapped up in this.
I did it today. I always have to catch myself.
Like, y'all stop fucking moving. I was yelling at my dogs last night. I was like, y'all quit. Y'all gonna get us motherfucking eaten.
Right. But as you watch that scene and like the suspense builds, like you said, the T-Rex looks into the Jeep, and then the kids are just screaming. The lawyer runs out on them. When that T-Rex bites into the top of that Jeep, like one of the scariest moments in movies, right?
For sure. And I would say thrilling. I think you described this as a thriller.
Yeah. Yes.
That is, of course, the most thrilling part of it, where that's the moment where you're kind of pissed at the kids. Mm. By the way, it is storming here now.
Oh, yeah.
With the T-Rex behind you? Interesting.
The world's worst on record.
That's a wrap.
That is the moment that you're kind of, I mean, I'm screaming at the kids, just sit still. How come, you know, Tim's an expert on the dinosaurs. Why don't you know to sit still? Right. I mean, you know all about them. Turn the flashlight off, dude.
Yeah, like dudes. Yeah, exactly. And but that's what makes it scarier too. Is like it's not attacking the adults, because like even though of course you feel badly for them because you don't want them to get killed, you feel like they would react better in that scene. And so like watching mm-hmm. children, you know, before it actually attacks the Jeep, but watching the children scream and yell and shine a light in his eye and do everything, like, you know, they're like, they did everything but blow the horn basically to get the thing to go away from him. But it's just like, It's just catastrophe after catastrophe. So finally Grant gets out and he has the flare that gets the T-Rex's attention, and he throws it back into the paddock to get it away from the children. And then Malcolm gets out. Like, why did Malcolm
run around?
Like, it's funny that he jumped out of the car in a way that made us go like, what are you doing? Because when, when Grant and Sadler got out, he brought up like, see, no one could have predicted he would just jump out of this car. And like, it's funny that he also jumps out of the car at maybe an even worse moment.
Yeah. Yeah, very unpredictable.
Yeah.
And just the realism of that scene when it comes to that T-Rex attack, it felt as real. Like, it to me, it ranks up there as far as realism goes, like the bear attack and the Revenant, because it's like, so this thing is actually happening. Like, you couldn't have told me that Leo was, and of course knowing Leo is like a method actor, but you couldn't have convinced me that Leo was not actually getting attacked by a bear. That was lost on that day.
Yeah.
Sometimes. Listen, at once upon a time in Hollywood, fellas.
I will never, ever forget as long as I live. So,
would you rather watch The Revenant or get attacked by a dinosaur?
What an insane joke.
I'll watch The Revenant, yeah.
Yeah. Like, I'll watch The Revenant, of course.
Fair.
Would you rather live The Revenant or live Jurassic Park, but like a bad night, right? You know, get like a good day of Jurassic Park where you can just see the dinosaurs and eat popcorn, get merch.
I don't do well in cold. So
yeah,
that's
give me the dinosaurs. Coming down
between dinosaurs and cold for you, man.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just being honest with you. That's Chris. Fair. You asked. Everything hurts worse. You ever stubbed your toe in the sun, in the cold?
Yeah,
you're right.
I'll take a good day in Jurassic Park. I'm sorry, the Revenant. Nothing about the Revenant.
At least the weather's nice, you know. Fuck,
it was appealing. I mean, there was an Indian, like a Navajo, an Apache attack in the first 3.5. There was a guy.
I'll take my chances. Seriously, I'll take my chances with the fucking dinosaurs. They're not as smart as people. They're close.
I can outsmart most of them. Like the Raptors, no, but the rest of them, I think I can outsmart, because the Revenant, the guy was asking his buddy what he wanted for breakfast, and he had an arrow. And are you on Jurassic Park? Or are you going to be in the Revenant for one winter? Have you seen the Revenant?
No.
Okay, cool.
But you're talking about bears, and no. For that reason, I'm out.
You've made the right choice. it's a fun watch for 45 minutes.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, I don't know. It's good. It's good. I'm in.
Wait, so you're saying you don't like the Revenant?
No, I just think it's a little overrated. Like I think the performances were good, and I think it's, you know, the first time I watched it, I enjoyed it, but I haven't just been like, fuck, you know what I haven't watched in a while? The Revenant, you know?
The guy who said he'd rather fight a T-Rex than be a little chilled, by the way.
Yeah, I stand by that decision. Yeah.
Do I bundle up or do I fight a velociraptor?
You can't beat Mother Nature, Chris.
I guess.
Life finds a way, Chris.
Yeah. You know, the more I think about it, the more I'm like, you know what? That cold would suck. Imagine having to deal with the dinosaurs and the
cold. Imagine having to sleep inside a fucking bear? No thanks.
He slept inside a horse, dude.
Yeah, a horse. That's right. Yeah.
That's even worse. When you really think about it, I'd rather be in a bear.
It's more roomy.
More roomy, yeah. I can stretch my feet out a little bit, maybe take my shoes off in a horse. I can't do anything.
What are they going to do? They're going to throw me in jail. It'll wash off in a 3-minute shower. I'm certain of it. So we're back on the island. So the T-Rex, the dinosaur, well, as far as we know, it's just the T-Rex is out. But the whole island, everything is going down. And it's just going from bad to worse. And the lawyer gets eaten while he's trying to – I feel like we felt like he was going to be the first one to go anyway. The lawyer gets eaten. Well, no, Dennis is
short.
Actually, Nedry was the first one, right? He died before the lawyer did, because he got the hot tar in his face, and he got eaten, and he dropped the embryos. They got covered in mud. But then, the lawyer is gone, and so now we have just a race. Everybody's trying to find, get back to the visitor center. I go control center, I guess it is. But we have what's also good about this movie is that it does, after the dinosaurs get out and after the island and all the security systems go down, it does really get an opportunity to breathe or like kind of settle in, because like you settle in and then something else goes sideways. And so of course it's just like dinosaurs anyway, it's already scared. From a suspense standpoint, like how not being able to relax, that played even more so into something like this, because I felt like at any moment a dinosaur was gonna just like jump out of some bushes and eat everybody.
It's perfect at that. Like it really doesn't give you a chance. I say even before then, like, again, it's because I'm in a state of panic, but the second they get off the plane, I'm like, all right, man, your lives will never be the same. Like, it's from that point on, of course, it's like it's not as bad. But when it hits that point where shit really, really hits the fan and you don't have time to breathe, I mean, you really don't. And because it's like that the dinosaurs that you've seen are out there, and then you have to think of like what happened with Neji. You don't see that dinosaur at any point early on. You don't hear anyone talk about it, but it just kind of runs up on them. So now you're like thinking of every dinosaur that you've ever heard of. You're like, are some of these guys running around? Like, a pterodactyl didn't show up and get anyone, but every time that they're like outside in the wide open, I'm like, man, a pterodactyl's gonna swoop in and take one of these kids away. And there's nothing.
Thankfully, they didn't do those. You know what I mean? They decided they made the right decision in the first movie.
Yeah, leaving them out.
To not breed.
Thank goodness.
Fucking flying.
You have to build towards that, but yeah, like it's that, you know, non-stop suspense. And this is like a perfect movie, and these are kind of like the perfect type of, I guess, antagonist to do. It's got a very, like, you know, aliens feel like it's just something that can kind of move around in these insane ways. Like, you know, for as gigantic and dangerous now, they can also kind of just sneak around. Like, yeah, they weren't in the air vents, but you know, if you weren't in like a empty plane, like the velociraptors could have been anywhere. A velociraptor could be in my room right now for all I know. It could be under my bed hanging out. Like, man, he is talking his ass off about me. Yeah. Okay, well then, see, I hate that. But no, it opens a door, Keith. Like, even when you think like they're behind a door, they're fine.
Yeah.
It opens
Figures out how to open a door. Yeah, that's tough.
No thanks.
That's terrifying to me. I don't like when things figure stuff out. I don't want anything. Nobody should learn anything else ever. What you know is where you have to stand. Nothing should evolve, you know, like intellectually. Whatever you know, that's it.
When like the you know, before we get off of it, it think of the balls it took to be like, yeah, the T-Rex is actually not going to be the ultimate bad guy, right? Like they were like, yeah, we're going to let this be this scene that's going to be cool, but then we're going to have these smart fucking small T-Rexes that can run fast and eat you even quicker, which is even like more cool, you know?
But just imagine that in like the pitch, Spielberg being like, yeah, at one point we're gonna have a dinosaur open a door. That sounds stupid. And then it happens. Like, this is the scariest thing I've ever seen. And I've seen all the aliens movies. Okay. Nothing is, I'm not even joking. Like, that is one of the most terrifying shots. Like, everyone else thinks that's so cool. And I'm like, man, I would hate for anything that doesn't know how to open a door to learn how to open it. When people's dogs know how to jump up and hit the knob and open the doors, I hate that. That freaks me out.
Yeah.
Alan
dogs that can open fridges.
They can open doors. He's very confident in his
extremely
professional opinion.
Yeah.
Open doors. And what do they do?
Right.
That fucker figured it out without seeing anybody else open one. You know, it's not like it learned it out of habit. Like,
yeah, it just figured it out.
Right. Like, what would lead anybody to do? Right. He was watching YouTube videos.
And he pulled out his phone out really quick.
He's like, yes.
He's like, I've seen
the ad first. So that's what took him so long. He got one of those ads that you can't skip.
Like, oh, that's how
you
do it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you should have had a premium.
I'd watch a 30-second ad for.
Yeah, these are some of my favorite tangents we've
some
ever gone on.
iPhone game that you're never going to play.
Yeah, but in 93, what is going to be an ad for, like, Clear Pepsi?
It's a Chicago Bulls jersey.
Like, I'm never going to drink. Yeah. Yeah, it's a
it's a John Tang Paxton commercial.
He can't skip it, though. He didn't have the, just the claw.
Right, right. Rip your phone.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so you had to watch it. Like, damn videos get longer every time.
Yeah.
They do, though, man.
How did dinosaurs swipe left?
I've never thought 15 seconds was a long time until it came to, like, watch this quick ad, and it's like 15. It's like, dude, all I want to do is watch this video of Javi Baez turn a double play, okay? I don't want to watch a 15-second video of anything else. Please, just get
as longer than the video, dude.
Seriously.
Yeah.
Like, anyway. So we have, so the suspense is as like, from that point on, the suspense is just there. Like, every scene is just harrowing. Timmy having to get rescued out of the tree, and then the Jeep falling on him, and, you know, everybody trying to work their way back, the children and Grant. Luckily they are with Grant, and he's somewhat protecting them, but, you know, as they're trying to make their way back, this is just rhetorical. How did they know which direction to walk?
You got me.
Yeah, that's something that's bugged me. How did they know
instincts.
Which? Because it wasn't even like, oh, the sun is setting in the west, so we'll go this way. Because the command center, we flew in from. How do they know where to go back?
Life finds a way, Keith. Life finds a way.
All it comes down to.
Yeah.
All right. So maybe somebody can find that in trivia later. So anyway, they're making their way back to the visitors, the visitor center. And
that one's a professional. I don't know.
Yeah.
Is that what it
means? Maybe.
Again, Keith, we saw a dinosaur open the door. Come on now. Let the kids have this. Let the kids play.
The dinosaur was watching YouTube videos and shit. All right. You got to move past this.
Listen, Grant was an expert, but he also tried to test an electric fence with a stick. It's not even a conductor. Yeah.
I
wasn't going to find
out. It is in your fucking hand. The stick ain't going to electrocute. You're just going to fucking send it through the stick and get your ass.
Yeah, he threw the stick at the maybe he would have heard a crackle or something. I don't know. Yeah. But they're starting to make their way back, and they have
just spit on it.
Wait for a fly to run into it. Just sit there and stare. One of them's gonna do it.
So we have the kids, and so I have Grant and the kids, and they're making their way back to the command the visitor center. But they do stumble upon something that's actually really cool. And whenever they did come across the eggs, like that was also another like wow moment, right?
Kind of like a headcanon moment in the movie because they're not supposed to be able to do that.
Right. But
they're all women.
They're all women. And then we figure out, wait, the DNA they put in there, they screwed themselves here.
Yeah.
Really.
Life finds a way.
Life found a way.
Real fast.
I just like how quickly Alan just kind of figured the whole thing out.
How long have they even been around?
You know what I mean? He was just like, oh, they said frog eggs. They use frog blood, and frogs can sometimes, certain species can turn into the different sex and breed with themselves. It's like, oh, shit, man. You really went down that rabbit hole. Yeah.
Right.
Why didn't you come up with that shit ages ago? Yeah. You could have saved like four people.
Yeah, why didn't you say that whenever we were back at the center? It's like, wait, aren't there some frogs that can reproduce asexually? They're like, wait, what? But also, how did they...
Maybe we don't go on a tour today.
Yeah, maybe we not. Yeah, stay home.
I feel like the scientists would have known, but I also feel like that these scientists weren't paid top dollar, because that's why Nedry did what he did, because he said, don't get cheap on me, Dotson, early on. He's like, that was Hammond's fault. So maybe he just paid for, like, these guys who get guys cheap, and they were like, oh yeah, they're storing some frog DNA, we should be fine. It's like, yeah, these frogs are like, they don't like reproduce asexually or anything. It's like, oh, frog DNA be good.
Not even an alligator or something.
A frog.
A frog.
Listen, they had to go real cheap, right? That's the best way to go. I mean, even though Hammond spared no expense, He's still like, yeah, let's go with the frogs. That's the best way to go. So we have back at the command center, we do have Ray. They're starting to figure things out. They said they need to do a hard reboot of the system. And here's the caveat. Ray says, all we have to do is go across the compound and manually reset it. We knew from that. When he talked about, I have to go across the compound real quick. We knew he was fucking dead at that moment.
He is dead as hell. Yeah. And they didn't even show him die either. You know, we didn't even get to see it. Yeah.
Good. I don't want to see Samuel L. Jackson get eaten by a dinosaur.
They ate me.
But again,
a brontosaurus for some reason ate me. It was very uncharacteristic.
Hell, the raptors were already down there. They should just ask them, turn the damn lights on. Yeah, right. They know how to do doors and shit.
Yeah, like they were already sitting. They were sitting by the outlet because their phones are charged because they're watching too many YouTube videos.
Just, yeah, right.
By the shit. Turn it back on.
That would have made me throw up if I would have seen that. That would have really them terrified.
I don't see no bogus. So the hard reboot, and so we have Ray. He hadn't come back in a while, and so now we have, of course, Ellie and Muldoon are like, we'll go find him. At that point, I'm just like, Chris, like you said, look, the game, all right, let's just get this helicopter and get out of here. But of course, they were like, okay, let's go reboot this island, reboot everything. So they have to go across. And then this, you talk about a late reveal, but we get, as they're having to walk across the compound, Muldoon walks by the raptor enclosure and he sees that fence is torn open. And so now we have three raptors on the loose, and they can see the buildings in sight. And Ellie's like, we can make a run for it. And Muldoon's like, no, we can't.
We're being hunted.
We're being hunted. Anna, watching that scene, that is, it's even to me, and even though we've already talked about the T-Rex scene being terrifying, that raptor scene is more intense. Does it feel more intense because we can't see the raptors, but they know they're being hunted?
Absolutely. And Ellie knows enough to know that she, oh, I can't imagine. That was an on the edge of my seat moment right there. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Her trying to make it there to, you know, save the remaining people who are alive there while being hunted.
Do you think that the raptors, when she took off running, you think they would have run after her, or were they all focused on Muldoon because he had been like kind of their primary handler, I guess, so to speak?
I think so. And he knew. So just, you know, whenever he finally has his ending, they knew to be in his sight and then be kind of coming up from the side. And mm-hmm. he says that line, you know, clever girl, because mm-hmm. they planned that against him.
I always love when one of the characters is killed, but like he's also in awe of the person that kills him, you know,
right.
Like that always works. And it's particularly good here because he was like, clever girl, and then just gets alive. But, he had to let her know, you know, she got him.
Tip of the cap, like, where he was taking his hat off real quick.
Yeah, he's like,
like Jeff Daniels in Speed, whenever he walked into Dennis Hopper's house, and he just like,
he had to bring that up.
And he just stood there and stayed like he didn't try to run. Like
he already knew.
He said in Lucky Number 11, he said, if I had on right now, I would tip it. So they are hunted by the raptors, and Muldoon, look, you just got to make a run for it. And so she runs towards the other compound, and he hunts them down. And so that's actually, Chris, you know, watching that scene, also suspenseful, because we've forgotten that earlier Grant told us how raptors hunted, how you know, you see one in front, but it's the two from the sides that are going to get you. That's something you had completely forgotten about in that scene, because you felt like Muldoon, being the expert, was going to be like, oh, I'm going to figure this out and maybe kind of work around, you know, escape this. But you had instantly forgotten that Grant had already told that story earlier, right?
Yeah, no, I forget. And again, I've seen this like multiple times, and of course I know it now, but there are a couple of times, like on a rewatch, if I just get so into it that I zone out, I'll still kind of forget just like a little bit. Obviously you still know because you've seen it, but you know, it really works on giving you some kind of experiences to like what they're going with. Like, you know, sometimes you are just so wrapped up and terrified that you forget small stuff like that. Obviously not all of them have the same foresight and the understanding of that plan, but you know, us knowing it, us still forgetting, it's like I can't imagine being in anything closer. Like, you could have, you know, there's just so many basic things I think that you could know about that could happen in these kind of situations. But when you get in that moment, you just freeze up, you forget all sorts of, like, I think I would have been so terrified, I would have forgotten that there were multiple raptors, probably. Like, this is the only velociraptor on this island. I think, you know, you're so worried about eluding that one, you know, and then here come two more. So, you know, it's easy to lose sight of the fact that that was extremely foreshadowed, because again, it does a great job of not letting you breathe when it gets to this point. You don't have time to think and remember anything.
Exactly. And that's the whole movie. It's just like, you see, you're so wrapped up in the suspense. It's like, we've got a story at the very beginning of the movie where he scared the child for no apparent reason. But it's basically like Cole said, like, we knew his mind was coming, just when they ate the fuck out of him, like, it's just, it is kind of, I don't want to say cool, because this guy lost his life, but he just knew, is like, okay,
it didn't really,
you
happen.
Got me. Yeah he's okay,
he's still okay, yeah. He was in a couple other movies,
you know a lady lost a kid, you better cross the line.
That ain't funny, man.
Maybe a dingo ate a baby, you know, a lady
excuse
lost
me
a kid,
Kangaroo Jack.
So they get back, you know, so he's gone. Ellie gets into the compound and she reboots the whole system. And it's like, okay, we're starting to feel good. And then bam, you know, Mr. Hammond, we're back in business. Bam, a raptor's like right on her shoulder. And she's screaming and like halfway climbing up a fence and, you know, I don't, or up the door fence situation. So she's running. And then it's like, okay, cool. Mr. Arnold puts his hand on her. He's going to help her out. And it's just his arm. Where did that arm come from?
Yeah. So where fell from the roof. Yeah.
Was there a raptor like holding?
Yeah. One of the other raptors was holding the arm up and dropped it.
But I wouldn't be surprised, man.
That was an excellent, diversion on their part though, with the arm.
That's what I'm saying. Like if that's what it was, like that just makes him even more terrifying.
Yeah. It had to be that, right?
I think that was definitely the trick, is like, just put this arm right here and we're just going to prop it up. Like, so they just set up a trap in there, like Home Alone is basically what you're saying.
Like, or was it a joke? Yeah, maybe it wasn't a gag and Velociraptors are actually secretly, actually I've decided it was a gag. Velociraptors are hilarious. It was a bit. And the block, they have a strong sense of humor. They're like, oh, fucking watch this. I'm going to get her. I'm going to put this arm right here. She's going to think she's safe. Watch this.
Yeah.
That's what I'm committed to now. It was all one big joke. They had a laugh about it before they ate that other guy.
Yeah, they.
she fell for the banana in the tailpipe.
Were like fantastical jokers. They were like, look, okay, man. Now say this.
I'm not going to fall for the arm on my shoulder.
I'm not gonna fall. It was set up exactly like in Practical Jokers. That is what I'm gonna run with now. There was one laughing the entire time, like
the Velociraptor looking at cameras. Had a guest in there or something.
Just looking at the cameras, like in the office, you know, like she walked into the compound, and it just like. He just turns, looks at the camera, the camera zooms in on it, you know?
Got her.
Like, got her. Yeah.
I know what time it is now.
These might be our best.
So the Raptors aren't.
Yeah, we're like 2 hours in and we haven't even gotten to the categories. So I don't know about elite. I don't know how good our bits are if we're just out of control.
Oh, man. That's what we'll remember.
Raptors aren't evil. They're just mischievous. That's all it is. Yeah. They're just misunderstood.
Tricksters. They're just goofy guys. We've all been there.
They're descendants of Loki. That's what they are. They're Loki raptors. So that's what I'm going to call we find out Mr. Arnold is dead, and we get back to the visitor center. The children are back. Grant's back with the children, and Ellie gets back there. Now they've rebooted the system, but it's not quite set up yet. And so the children are, while they're waiting on Dr. Grant, Peter Pan type spread, and they have like all these cookies, pies, and cakes sitting around. Like that's like the best spread of food I've ever seen. But it's just desserts. There was no entrees. And so they're all sitting around. They're sitting around eating that. And then we have, like, again, we relax and then the suspense. Yes. And they're like happy, and it's like, oh, we've been hungry. And then she just starts shaking again. Anna, how suspenseful was it? Because we couldn't see anything yet. We knew something was about to happen, but just the acting on her part, where she just like her eyes got huge and she's shaking, and you see the jello. I mean, it's just like, it's just brilliant to think what can I put on her spoon to show like how hard she's shaking? How that like that built made the suspense that much better, right?
Yeah, that was brilliant. And again, like to your point. They are thrilled. You know, Tim's got his big hair and they're trying to relax just for a minute and enjoy themselves. And then there goes her jello. And just the fact that they were left alone, I think too, because you're watching this again, the same with the T-Rex scene where they're by themselves, they don't have an adult around to help them. Mm-hmm. I think kind of plays into that as well.
Oh, it does. And it makes it scarier because it's just like the children they're just going to panic and aren't going to know what to do, as opposed to like actually thinking something out. And that's what made that scene even much more suspenseful, as they did get into the kitchen. And Chris, when you're watching that scene, and what to me is one of the scarier scenes is like when Lex is trying to, like they're in the kitchen and Lex is trying to like distract from her brother. and she's trying to like squeeze into that little enclosure, and but the door won't close, and the raptor is like running at her, and it's a reflection. Like, how scared were you thinking, like, oh, this is a wrap for her, right?
No, you're terrified because she can't get it closed. Even if she did like start to get it to close, like with how fast the thing is moving, like that's just like if she didn't get closed as soon as she got in, you just know there's no chance for it. And so, you know, you really think like, wow, they're going to show a Velociraptor eat a small child, right? And like, luckily it's just a reflection. But you know, when I'm watching, I'm like, there's no way out of this. She hasn't closed it. Again, if you don't close it as soon as you get in there, once that thing spots you and it's coming towards you, like, there's nothing you can do faster. Even if you do close, with how strong it is, like it might be able to, you know, it just opened a door. I'm sure it can pry open a simple, you know, latch that you just let down. So extremely terrifying scene, man.
Yeah, it's so bad. And so they lock one of them in the freezer, which I'm not 100% sold that it didn't just like open that freezer door somehow. So they do get one locked in the freezer, and then they manage to escape from it. And they do link back up with Ellie and Grant. And so they get the systems back up. The Lexi has some kind of experience with Linux somehow. Was there a point where it was mentioned that she worked like computers or Linux, or she just happened to know? Did I miss that?
Yeah, she talks about being a hacker or something.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Is that, yeah, I think I just missed that.
Somehow. I missed it the first 100 viewings as well. I didn't see it until this last one.
Yeah.
Okay. So she gets the system. She gets the doors back locked, and then the raptor's still. So they have to escape through the air conditioner duct again. It's like this movie just doesn't let you go. That's the thing. It's like, but I feel like in a disaster like this, that is going to be the case. Like, you get away from one dinosaur, and there's 50 other on the island that are ready to eat them too. And so, I think that the movie, I know that the movie did a really good job of playing that up and never really letting us get comfortable. But I mean, how could you know that there's loose dinosaurs? Like, again, it's not like, oh, I'm on this island, a bunch of inmates are out. It's like, there's dinosaurs, carnivorous dinosaurs loose on this island that could like at any moment just burst in this room and eat everybody. So
they do the house,
get out through the AC.
Open doors, yeah.
They're back into, they do open doors. They're back into the main all of the visitor center. They barely escape the raptors, and they get all surrounded. And just like Cole to Europe, like the raptors are the big bad guy, and the T-Rex ends up coming in and save the day as it attacks the raptors, and they get free. And so as they get out, Hammond and Malcolm pull back up. And one of the best lines is like, after further consideration, you know, this is Grant talking to Hammond. After further consideration, yeah, I've decided not to endorse your part. That's actually really, really good.
Hammond says, me either.
Yeah. Cause it's like, okay, yeah, that's actually a really good idea. So you get that, and then a T-Rex lets mighty raptor. It wins this fight where, you know, alludes to another T-Rex, but it's great though, man. I mean, it's like it's a good way to wrap it. We have the banner that falls behind the T-Rex, and it's just kind of like the fall of Jurassic Park. You know, that was great. Like, I don't know that the movie could have wrapped any better. And that was it's weird to say that the T-Rex saved the day, but it is. Like, were you expecting that particular? What were you expecting them to get eaten, kind of there at the end, Cole? Were you expecting a T-Rex or something to intervene, or more of a person, right, than a dinosaur?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I didn't really have a good idea. Obviously, I didn't think they were all going to get eaten by a dinosaur at the end, but a dinosaur, sorry. But I did. I wasn't ready for the T-Rex come in and save the day. But I mean, I like that scene, man. He fucks those things up. They're like jumping on his neck. He just like just rips them off of him. It's pretty gangster.
No, that's real gangster. It kind of made me laugh because it's like, trying to watch it eat the raptors, but it couldn't reach and eat them, so it just had to like use his giant head, you know, though.
Yeah,
that is like,
couldn't use his arms.
I have this big head and little arms. It always makes me think of that. It's weird to think that to get a laugh out of a movie about dinosaurs eating people, but I did though, and actually did get several laughs in this one. But the one true moment that made me laugh and always makes me laugh in this movie is when Malcolm walks up to the triceratops dropping and just like in Jeff Goldblum fashion takes his sunglasses off first and stands there. Yeah. And he's like,
that's big bow.
That line gets me every single time. Like, I don't care how many times I watch this movie. I'll literally legit laugh out loud every single time he says that. But Anna, what about you? What scene had you laughing out loud?
Really enjoyed Tim's jokes, actually.
Oh, yeah.
he's yeah, got that. It's almost a dad joke. It's the, what do you call a dog? Oh. Do you think he saw us? A blind dinosaur, I think.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
And then the scene where they're up in the tree and the dinosaur sneezes on his sister and he just pops his head in and says, you know, God bless you.
Yeah, God bless you, dinosaur.
He's like covered head to toe in dinosaur mucus.
That kid cracked me up. He's got a, and then he just pretty much anything he says toward the end of the movie made me laugh out loud.
Going, Chris, what about you? What had you laughing out loud?
So it's weird because it gets to the point where we're talking about how it's just super tense, right? It's hard to find a moment of levity, but what always gets me is when Nedry is talking to that little dinosaur down there before he goes at the waterfall. He's like, look at you, you're a good boy. I'm going to go get in my car and come back down here and run you over. I don't know. That makes me laugh so hard every time.
I'm going to run you over when I get back.
Yeah, I'm going to run you over when I get back. Yes, that is definitely worth it. That dinosaur didn't even want to kill him until he said that, actually. That's my other headcanon. That dinosaur was just amazed that there was this guy out here like this. Like, wow, you're really doing this for $47, aren't you? And then he's like, oh, you just threatened me. Now I'm going to eat you. Like, that is the fun. The 100, I'm sorry. Smooth. Yeah, 47 would be noticeable now I think about it.
Yeah.
Who just sends $47?
That's a weird money. Number. Yeah.
Yeah, it's either 45 or 50. Don't be weird. Good point. But no, that's mine. Like, put that together. Telling a dinosaur you're going to run it over. Like, yeah. just nonsense.
Completely. I agree. And then he tried to play fetch with it, too. Just absolutely.
Stupid stick. Go get the stupid stick. He just, like, looked at it. And then looked back at
him. He said, no wonder you're extinct because they didn't know how to play fetch. Like, how did a dinosaur know how to play fetch? But Cole, what about you? What scene had you laughing?
Man, I had to go with the first Wayne Knight scene, just because, like, obviously it's very popular meme now, but I love when he says, what are you, a secret agent? Cause that dude was wearing a hat and showed up. And, it's just funny, like the situationally, obviously, cause the guy was like taking it very serious and Wayne Knight was like wiping shaving cream on pie and stuff like that. And his little laugh during that scene when he like when they make the little thing pop up and he's like, ah, that part, man, I just about faint because I have no idea what noise he makes, but it's like very, very on brand for Wayne Knight. So that's definitely mine.
It is, man. And that's a guy that I just every time I see him on screen. Well, because Seinfeld messed him up because he's just like Newman. And then if I get over that, then I'm like Nedry. So, every time I see him, I'm just like somebody I can't trust. But, yeah, so on the Mr. Mustang, I feel like this movie did have several candidates. I ultimately went with Samuel L. Jackson. I feel like, you know, he was great. He came in, he cooked real quick. He smoked a cigarette for the entire movie. He helped.
Yeah.
He did. Trying to help get the island back up, and he was eaten, or at least just lost an arm. If he returns in this, if he returns with one arm in this next one, that may be the most, the greatest return of all time. But Anna, what about you? Who was your Jameis Winston?
No, Mr. Mustang.
I'm sorry, Mr. Mustang. Sorry.
I had a hard time, but I'm going to go with the T-Rex.
Good choice. Nice.
He came in good and choice. Saved the day. He nice. Just nailed it. So that's my guy. Girl.
Amen. Yeah, definitely a girl. Yep.
Yeah. Chris, what about you? Who is your Mr. Mustang?
I wanted to give it Samuel Jackson. I don't know what it is, but B.D. Wong. Scientist, just like really good, just like really. And again, he has a like weird kind of aura, his aura.
He got the aura.
He was like, this is just like some random scientist, but at the same time, like, he's talking, like, he seems evil for some reason. I know he's not, like, he's just part of this like situation that isn't of itself pretty messed up and awful, which like something about him feels sinister for some reason. And I mean, he comes in, you know, minimal lines, and he just nails it. He really sells this guy who's like deeply invested and attached and really knows what he's talking about. And then you just, you don't see him again until the movie 20 minutes later, 20 years later. Geez.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, that's my Mr. Mustang. He shows up and he cooks, man.
Do you know, I'm going to tell you, do you know why he felt sinister, Chris? Because he was in the lab taking notes with a pencil.
Yeah.
Not a pen.
Not a pen. You make mistakes around dinosaurs, man.
He was
might write the wrong thing down.
He was taking notes with a pencil and he was erasing something that he had written down. So that's why he seemed sinister. Because he had a pencil
and a dinosaur should never be in the same room. So I'm with him. Yeah, ever. That's
dinosaur.
That's exactly. Nicole, what about you? Who's your Mr. Mustang?
Jeff Goldblum's chest. Yeah.
Why is that scene like popular?
That's such a bizarre scene. Like it doesn't make sense. Like, but I mean, he did look good as shit in this movie. So I guess like the sex appeal, they needed it from somebody, and they weren't getting it from fucking Sam Neill.
Nah.
I did go with Jeff Goldblum's opinion on genetic altering. I just feel like that. I feel like that was perfectly placed. Obviously, we've said life finds a way, or I've said life finds a way 41 times now. But it's like the whole premise of what would become a franchise film, and just kind of like weirdly apropos to today, so it aged well. So
yeah,
okay. That's fair. It's fair. Well, I've already alluded to my Jameis Winston. So not even alluded. I just already heard and dropped this. Wayne Knight. He got himself and almost everybody else killed. He dropped the canister, which is going to lead to the next 58 movies. And he just was a bad person. He also got somebody's dessert. He put shaving cream on top of somebody's dessert. So I thought it was whipped cream and then shaving cream too. So I think I'm almost tempted to rename this the Nedry Award, but the Jameis Winston is definitely Wayne Knight. Anna, who is yours?
Of course, yes, I agree with you. Although he seemed to have, you know, what he thought was justifiable cause to do all of this. So my possible second choice would be Hammond.
Hammond's a good choice.
That works out because it's crazy. Like he loves saying spared no expense, but this is kind of all happening because he quite literally did not pay someone
a good amount of money.
Funny how that happens.
Dude would have never been happy, you know. He had a gambling problem. Probably not.
Right.
If you notice, and so this is something I noticed on this last watch was he spared no expense, but he couldn't pay for a waiter who could carry more than one plate at a time when they were eating. So plates come out one at a time. And then I don't think he actually let them eat because his grandkids show up. And
nobody ever ate.
They didn't get their protein for that, you know, T-Rex chase. So
yeah. It's
a wonder they survived at all.
Yeah.
Went from a T-Rex on an empty stomach? No thanks.
No
thanks.
Definitely malnourished. So Chris, who is your Jameis Winston?
It's Nedry. Just one of those all-time great stinkers by Jameis Winston. Like I wanted to give it to someone who comes in the end. I was going to be the T-Rex. Like, you know, T-Rex like makes it ugly, but it comes in the end and somehow pulls it off. But I'm like, nah, I've been given too many redemptive Jameis Winston. Just a disaster class of a performance by Nedry. You know, he looks like he's got it all figured out and he talks like he does, and then the football touches his hand and you're like, oh no, you're gonna lose by 50 now. So yeah, man, just the worst.
I completely agree. All right, Cole.
All right, so here it is. Y'all are
modern ingenuity.
You're not incorrect. Yeah. The U.S.
paleontology system.
You aren't completely wrong. You're directing your anger towards the wrong person. We've got to go. Jameis Winston is the incompetent scientist B.D. Wong because at no point did they come up with any thought that this wasn't a good fucking idea? We've got this guy with all these different like medical degrees and he's still slinging passes. He doesn't give a fuck. And not to mention that only he is the repeat champion of this because he does it a fucking again They like they somehow like have this man who sees all these people get killed, somehow doesn't die. They don't explain that one. And then he's just like, yeah, fuck it. Let's run it back.
With the worst dinosaur this time, actually. Let's do with it.
The worst, they made a worse dinosaur. Can you imagine how stupid that is? He didn't know that the frogs could reproduce and shit like that. No, fuck. It's him. That's the most James Winston performance of all time.
But this went sideways because of Nedry. Not meaning like, yes, yeah, something.
All those dinosaurs, man, they were breeding without Nedry. You know, there was already that problem. Life found a way.
But they were still enclosed. They were still in there.
They would have gotten out, man. We saw it in Jurassic World. You know, they would have made it work.
Yeah. Like I said, Keith, the kangaroo got out after 4 days. So
they weren't going to maintain for that long, especially if he didn't even know that there was frog DNA that could turn into men.
Right.
That's so crazy that they just didn't know that. Like, what?
Right. Yeah. Same.
I don't even think he's a scientist. We're being too nice calling him a scientist.
He's not. Yeah.
He just takes really good notes.
They got him at Abercrombie.
Look at that penmanship. Surely he's smart.
Yeah, they got him out of rehab. There's no way he's an actual, there's no way he's an actual scientist. All right, so Rinse Due. I feel like we're going to be all over the map on this one. Absolutely not. I don't think that's going to be the case this time. But it was. I gave it to the Velociraptors, man. They made us scare them more. more than we feared the T-Rex. Like Cole said earlier, like we were more scared of them than anything. So to me, it was the Raptors. They show their ass the whole movie, man. They killed the expert. They got out of their entrapment. They killed the guy at the very beginning of the movie. And then Rinse Due was for the Velociraptors. Anna, who was yours?
Jeff Goldblum.
Mm.
And his chest.
I crushed it. And I, again, you know, as I mentioned earlier, I watched this as a kid. So I believed that that's what he was like for a long time.
It is, I think. Yeah, still to this day, he's still pretty kind of like that.
He is exactly like that.
I loved it.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fair. That's not a bad choice, Chris.
Good answer.
Same one, same person, Jeff Goldblum. Like I said, Ian Malcolm is one of my favorite characters in film. And he was just really fun to watch this. I liked that he was like smart and he saw that rock star quality to him. Yes, we have no idea what his degree is and what his job is, but whatever it is, he's pretty good at it, right? Like everything he said would happen just happened. And, I mean, he was just fun to watch. You know, and Jeff Goldblum, I think the landlord might have been changing the locks while he was in the house because he just really dialed it up. It was just fun to watch it.
He brought it. He brought
the,
it,
yeah. The scene of him laying on that table shirtless and just like breathing hard. I don't like this. I have like, no idea why it was in this movie.
You have to be going big to do that. There was no reason to do that way, but he did it.
He did it. He didn't give a no reason.
Absolutely not. All right, Cole, about you, who was Rent Due for?
Man, I went with Laura Dern. I just thought she was like a fucking lightning rod in this, and also just like, especially for the time period, to have her be such a badass, like ready to stick her arms and shit. She pretty much saved the day with getting the power turned back on. You know, she was smartest of the group in a lot of ways. She's awesome, man. She's a great actress, like kind of carry the weight of this movie in certain ways. And so, I mean, I definitely think Laura Dern won the film.
Okay. As you know, I'm in love with Laura Dern, so I felt I'd be a little biased if I picked her. So I was like,
we figured you'd
pick her. I can't show my true colors. That's fair. I had to hide that side of myself.
Extremely fair. So best scene, there's a bunch of them, and we're going to be, again, all over the board on this one, but this was – best scene for me was the clever girl scene. I thought that the setup was great. I thought that the suspense leading up to it, the talk about how smart the Raptors are, how they hunt, everything. I mean, it all laid the groundwork for this scene. And so for us to have an idea of what they were actually like and then to see it play out and then the snake like slithering by that one Raptor that he had been focused on as the other one was eating the crap out of him was absolutely great. So that was my best scene. Anna, what was yours?
The T-Rex scene with the kids in the car.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
That one.
Yeah. This is the right answer.
Yeah. That is the one. I almost think they might have played that a little too soon because if they had pushed that just a little bit longer.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember as a kid kind of being bored after that. So
I remember last night being bored after that. Yeah.
Yeah.
The Velociraptor opened the door, didn't do it for you?
Not no, like that fucking T-Rex scene, man. Yeah.
It does now, because now I know why they know how to do that.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, Chris, what about you? Best scene.
It's also the T-Rex escaping the paddock. And one, it's just fantastic scene, you know, with the tension and just like the feel of that scene, right? And then probably nerding out, but just the amount of filmmaking techniques that were being used to make that as good as it was, you know, the water thing, right? Like there's a guitar string underneath that glass and that's how it's vibrating. Even just the stuff with the T-Rex, it's like animatronics, it's CGI, it's slow-mo, it's go-mo. It is a brand new puppet to CGI motion capture technology that was literally created just for this movie. I can't remember what it's called. Dinosaur is literally in the name of the technique. It's got like the animatronic puppet that's like a small scale hooked up to the computer, which is like in real time rendering the CGI. So it's like, of course, like regular motion capture, but it's, you know, you're playing with the puppet. And they created that just for this and for how good that this looks with, you know, five different filmmaking techniques for something on this scale is just phenomenal. And then you have the purely human parts of it, again, just that sense of tension and the smaller scale stuff, like making making a glass of water vibrate, just the feel of that scene and how well it plays with, you know, all of those techniques just makes for a phenomenal scene, like some groundbreaking stuff in filmmaking outside of the fact that they, again, created, I guess, two new ways of, you know, capturing non-real things, right, and getting them put in movies. It's just phenomenal scene, one of the best scenes in any movie of all time.
No, it was awesome. I agree 100%. Cole, what about you? What was your best scene?
Same. We're the three amigos on that one, because it's I mean, it's just one of those scenes. It's just iconic for you know, lack of a better word.
It changed technology. That's nuts.
It changed the way we watch movies. It changed the way we expect certain things to go. It was a big budget scene that easily could have not aged well, but it does. Mm-hmm. Like, no part of that when I was watching it last night aged badly. Even the CGI stuff was still pretty good. You know, like you could clearly tell that it was computer generated, but it all in all, like that scene and just the use of tension and the way of doing it, because I'm kind of with Anna. I feel like it did peak right there. Like, that was holy shit. What did we just survive? Right. But it wasn't so unbelievable. It felt like a situation that you could actually be in if you were at Jurassic Park. Right. Like, it wasn't like the hidden, you know, velociraptors opening doors. It was this dinosaur stepping over a fence and trying to eat you in a car. And just the way they did it was sharp, especially with the kids. Anytime you put a kid in it, it makes everything way more horrifying. And you know, those two kids were extremely charismatic, and I just liked the entire use of the cast, especially in even the lawyer getting eaten, the blood sucking lawyer getting eaten. Like, it was just a good use of everybody, and I just loved that scene.
Yeah, putting the children in the ultimately would look like the worst scenarios in each particular part, whereas like they're by themselves, made it that much scarier, I felt like, and it played up the suspense that much more. And it made us just like you said, like we said earlier, like sit still or do, you know, not want to move or do whatever, just because it's like how the children gonna get out of this. Cause we're not so much worried about the adults, cause like, oh, they'll figure it out or they'll hide or something. But the children just scared and yelling and screaming or shining lights and something. So yeah, that's each time they were put in a position, is like, it made me in particular hold my breath the entire time. So
Right.
Trivia-wise, did y'all find, I already touched on the T-Rex malfunctioning. That's kind of the biggest one. Did y'all find anything else on the trivia front?
Yeah, the biggest one I saw, and it actually blew my mind. Steven Spielberg made $250 million off this movie.
Jeez. I would not
be in the early 90s.
Yeah, that's incredible. Like,
what the fuck?
Yeah, I would have packed
that's
it up.
A lots of money, up. Player.
That's 250. That's woof. Chris, you see
a quarter of bill.
If I make $250 million, I'm never washing another dish in my life. Like, I'm never doing anything again. My dishes will wash them, not even with a dishwasher, like something else.
You're just gonna get a new one.
We've already invented new technology. We can do it again. Yeah, I would throw them away. Instead of paper plates, I'd just have, you know, disposable fine china.
Yeah. Hey, Chris, you would just put these in a sink? We just had dinner. It's like, no, just throw them out.
I'd throw them away.
Throw them out back.
Just throw them at that wall. It's kind of
at the neighbor's house.
Yeah. You can take them with you if you want, man. I don't really want them.
Nick Cannon just walked out with school clothes money.
So funny. Go live with him.
Cousin in the house. Shit.
Fuck you, son.
I have two. Okay. The animatronic is a big one. So James Cameron almost made this, but Spielberg got the rights just hours before Cameron got in contact with the people to try to get the rights from. So I think that one's like, it's crazy. Right, because he said he would have made it a more violent, a darker version, but it's crazy to think like he missed it by a couple of hours. You know, like that's just an insane thing that almost happened.
It turned out right for him.
Yeah, I think that everything worked out for everybody. Still,
everybody did good though. Yeah.
He made that tall blue person movie. That was his. Jurassic Park. Tall blue person planet.
Tell me one scene in from
that. When Sigourney Weaver's character is wearing a Harvard shirt for some reason. It's an extra tall.
Yeah,
she had to specifically have that shirt made. That always bugs me. She asked someone to make her this shirt with 400 feet of yarn. Anyways, the other one is that for as impactful as are, the dinosaurs only have 15 minutes of screen time. It's what, 9 minutes of the animatronic and 6 minutes of CGI, but it feels like they're in every scene of the entire movie. But you're like, nope, you just see them for a combined 15 minutes. It just makes you think about how well they're used and how impactful those scenes were. You know, like that T-Rex scene was maybe what, 3 minutes long, four if we're being, you know, like at most. But it feels like, with how tense it feels like it's a 15-minute sequence, right? So I think that's crazy.
Yeah, I think that's why I felt like much longer scene, because it's just like you're scared as hell. I think, mm-hmm. Gotten dinosaur fatigue had they been in the movie any longer than what they were, but I think it was a perfect amount because it felt like more when it really wasn't. So yeah,
right.
You're absolutely right. Anna, did you find anything as far as trivia goes?
Did y'all see the one where the cast got to take the raptors home?
What?
No.
So these Lex, the girl in the movie, puts it in her doorway to scare the people who come into her house.
No thanks.
Yeah.
What?
That's a nice thing to do.
Does it freak out and it gets wet like the T-Rex? Because that would be terrifying. A little
velociraptor. You just water it in the middle of the night.
Just run around your house.
Yeah.
That was my favorite trivia.
No thanks.
And Ellie's was, scared one of her kids, I believe. So... Mm.
Jesus,
love that. That's
shocking.
No one never go over there. No thanks, Colt. Colt, did you find anything else?
Nope, that was it. I mean, except for the big giant animatronic T-Rex. Obviously, that's pretty insane. It's pretty insane.
Screw that. All right, so awards call. Let you run with this one. This was a good one.
Yeah, 1-3. Best sound, best sound effects, and best visual effects. Which. You know, what else could you ask for in this specific movie? I do find it more and more bizarre every time that I look at this year that John Williams didn't even get like a nom for best score. Like that seems crazy, because this is like, insane. This has got to be a top five, like most recognized score, right? Mm-hmm. Like how in the world did you not listen to this and be like, yep, this is going to be what we need to give some sort of recognition to. So that's the only one. I mean, obviously I think it might be the best movie of 93, but you know,
was King's Speech
the Oscars don't do that. What's that?
Was King's Speech in 93?
Yeah, no, that was 94. No, it was 94.
Okay.
I don't even remember who won in 93.
This is the first one of the first ones where I didn't look at that Oscar year afterwards.
Yeah.
Which I should
93. So that would have been after, I don't know. I can figure it out.
Let's say it wasn't Schindler's List, surely. But it's also, that's another thing that gets crazy.
Oh, it might have been, actually.
He did Jurassic Park, and then he left, and then he went and did Schindler's List. Like, what a weird
that's tough
transition to make.
Yeah, that's
really it was Schindler's List. There you go.
It was? Okay.
Yeah. Oh, it wasn't for that picture, guy. But,
yeah, not bad.
Not bad at all. Picture, I'm sorry. Yeah. Yeah, not bad. Yeah, back to back. That's pretty sick.
billion-dollar dinosaur movie and Schindler. Again, I would have just retired. There's nothing else for me to do. I have Jaws, Jurassic Park, and Schindler's List. Right. Yeah, you guys can have fun doing all these movies.
Yeah, and one best director.
I'm going to throw plates at my wall.
Shit. Yeah, I would have built Jurassic Park at that point.
Yeah, that's what it really turns out to be. Oh, Cliffhanger was 94.
Ooh. Okay, Sloan. So yeah, that is Jurassic Park currently, and we got the next Jurassic Park coming out here soon. So it's a good segue. You can catch up on all the Jurassic Park movies leading up to this. But Chris, we're back around to your pick.
We are. Okay. I'm excited. I'm going to keep with our theme. Keep
with the theme of dinosaurs.
Of movies having to do with, I guess, other people having movies coming out. It does have do with the Marvel movie, but it's not one. So Alex Garland has a new film on the way called Men that'll be out soon. And Tessa Thompson and Natalie Portman are going to be in Thor coming out soon as well. So I am excited to do Annihilation next.
Oh, shit. Oh. Okay.
It's on Hulu. I had to decide between this and Ex Machina. It really took me a long time. It was such a, I don't know why I ended up doing it. I feel like I've seen Ex Machina more, I think. Yeah. And so I've been dying to watch Annihilation again. And I think that's what it came down to. It was really hard to choose, but ultimately I was just like, I watched Ex Machina like last month. I'm gonna watch Annihilation again. So I hate to do this to you, Keith. I know how much you love Ex Machina. I'm sorry.
Which is such a weird pressure. Be like, I love Ex Machina because it's
nobody does. That guy but box. Yeah, it's a good watch. Yeah,
All right. So Annihilation, you said on Hulu.
It's on Hulu. Yes.
All right. Let's do it. I've actually never seen Annihilation.
Oh,
so I'm excited, man. Yeah. I thought it was
It's been a minute for me. I honestly don't remember much about it.
Yeah, I've only seen it the one time. I saw it once, and then I bought it on sale not too long ago, and I just never watched it. I remember enjoying it, but I'm excited to watch it again. I'm actually going to watch every Alex Garland. I'm glad we
picked
a movie
none of us have seen.
Yeah, I've seen it. It's not in a while. It's relevant.
It is relevant.
I thought it was a Resident Evil movie. I don't know what was going on there.
Yeah.
Man, I was going to do a joke and mess with you and say Man on a Ledge. I was like, since the Avatar 2 trailer be out, I just want to see what you would do. But I was like, nah.
How do we get through this whole thing and no one said what their favorite dinosaur was?
Oh, shit. Good question.
Well, because it's going to be, we're all going to be the same.
You think?
Oh, queen what? Sweep. I don't think so. Go ahead. Great. Keith, you go first.
1, 2, 3, Velociraptor.
Okay, mine is Velociraptor.
Velociraptors aren't cool.
What?
They just kill people and shit, man. They open doors.
You could ride one, though, dude. That'd be awesome. Like, again, I would
blow it up. That motherfucker would eat you off its back.
Okay, but in the
most vicious horse of all time.
Right.
Look, if Chris Pratt, of all people, could get through to it, surely I could, okay? Chris Pratt can get through to
he's
a Velociraptor.
The power of the Lord with him, you know.
He does. Yeah.
No, man. You're underestimating.
I like the long necks, man. What are they called?
Brontosaurus,
yeah. That's mine for sure. Those are fucking cool. They just
you could ride around.
Nobody fucks with them because they're huge.
Land Before Time or something? Why did you say long necks? I hadn't heard anybody say long necks.
Well, man, that's the reference I knew. Fuck.
Yeah.
What do I look like, a scientist?
He was a paleontologist. He's bullying you. He's bullying you for not knowing more about dinosaurs.
Yeah, imagine, not knowing the official dinosaur name. Like, what am I in fourth grade again?
But you said it's your favorite, but you don't know the name.
Fair enough. I deserve that.
All right. So, well, mine is a pterodactyl because I love all things flying.
Pterodactyls are fucking cool.
That's way more terrifying than me picking up a
They're way more terrifying than, well, not way more, but they are. They do. Yeah.
Okay, slightly more.
Jurassic World kind of fucked me up for those, actually.
So. Right.
Yeah. Especially buddy. The little motherfuckers. They were. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, buddy. Well, that one.
And Jurassic Park 3, too. They're.
Mm-mm. Oh, yeah. They were particularly bad in 3.
Crap out of that lady supposed to be watching the Bryce Dallas Howard's nephews.
Man, she got it awful. These movies can be so like mean spirited for vicious. No reason at times. Yeah. Man, she didn't do anything. At least the lawyer, like at first, when I was like, man, they're gonna kill the lawyer. He's not really doing anything but saying this is a bad idea. Then he was like, we can charge $10,000. I was like, ah.
You're getting ripped in half, bro.
That nanny didn't do anything to deserve it. She was like a mean nanny. She was like, you know, nervous and stressed out, trying to make sure these kids didn't die in the dinosaur park. Right. That was her crime. She didn't
deserve that.
She had a Cockney accent. She had to go. Yeah. The truest crime of them all.
Yeah.
She had the pills on the whole time. She just, no.
She eats beans for breakfast. Get her out of here.
I was about to say, are you guys hungry? And then gave him like some fries with gravy on it. And they were like, nope, drop her ass in the water. Like, drop her off.
Imagine asking me if I want bangers and mash and think that I want you to live. Yeah, get serious. Get real.
Yeah, she gave them fries, gravy, and peas all together. And they were like, nope get her out of here right now.
That's enough of her.
Yeah, please drop her ass off right now. Yeah, that is.
Anna, what's your favorite?
Yes.
T-Rex.
Oh, yeah.
Still my guy.
Yeah, that's fair.
It's too T-Rex scary. Is fucking for me.
Cool. Yeah, it is scary. That's why I like the Velociraptor. That's why I like the long necks. Fuck Keith. They're not scary at all. They're just cool as hell. That's what I want to do. I just want to fucking imagine walk around and eat falling, grass. Though.
Right. Yeah.
What? That caused an earthquake.
Yeah, use that big ass neck. And bring your ass back up. Those dinosaurs.
So the brontosaurus, the T-Rex, the raptors, and the pterodactyl.
All over. Yeah, what a blend. Mine's the only ones that's vegetarian, so that makes sense. That's on brand.
Did you just have a gnarly pepperoni pizza?
Fuck. The forgetful vegan.
The forgetful vegan, man. What a great bit. But all right. That is Jurassic Park. Anna, we appreciate you coming on again. A great pick.
Thanks, Anna.
Thank you, Anna.
Next
time you come on, you gotta pick something that is like completely zany again, so we can have a dinosaur talk about dinosaurs watching YouTube. I don't even know how we got
there. Yeah, we got really out of hand. That was good.
Fun episode.
Wild.
We didn't talk about penises or anything though, so there you go.
Not yet.
Yep, not yet. Yeah.
Well, this movie, all the dinosaurs were females. They were all female dinosaurs. So you didn't have a good segue.
Did you look under their skirts?
But of course.
What a show.
Oh, man.
But yeah, this might be our last episode. So give us a good proper send-off.
Good way to go.
Didn't get to do the Tropic Thunder episode. We traded that for us talking about Velociraptors watching ads. Life's about choices.
This is what we died for.
Jurassic Park, the Snyder Cut pod.
Yeah.
He got the Fitbit ad. Remove our RSS feed.
But Anna, thanks again for coming on. But for all of us here at the stream team, Keith Evans, Cole Miller, Chris Lowry. Have you ever seen my movies?
Yeah. I wish you'd have done Awkwafina again, but that's fine.
Man, that was good. That was so hilariously good impression.